Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is one of my favorite football voices to listen to. One of my favorite football voices to read. I subscribe to his podcast with Charles Robinson on Yahoo Sports. His name is Terrez Paylor, joining us on The Drive in the Radio.com app. Terrez, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Let's start here, Terrez. Which quarterback do you think has more left in the tank, Tom Brady or Drew Brees?
That's great. I think your answer, I'm guessing, is neither. but I actually think so far this season, we've seen a little bit more in Brady. He's pushed the ball downfield. He's actually made some throws. I've studied him very closely the last 2 weeks. And his interceptions were interceptions of communication and timing, not of like a lack of arm talent. What we haven't seen the Saints do consistently is push the ball down the field. And this is something that goes back to last year a little bit too. So that's not to say that like the Saints won't figure it out. It's a very good offense. They were very clearly missing Michael Thomas last week. But I do think, you know, after watching Brady closely, you know, there's more there than a lot of people want to think. He's okay. They got to keep working. They got to keep getting that communication together.
Terrez, you and I have had enough football conversations to know that I know that you're not ready to go out on any limb just after seeing two football games. But it's hard for me to look at Tampa Bay and New Orleans being real contenders if that's the quarterback play. You bring up Drew Brees and his inability to push the ball down the field. He only has 7 passes that have traveled over 10 yards. I just don't know how you win with a quarterback that has that serious limitation.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the perpetual problem, right? Because, like, you know, I'm not going to go that far through 2 weeks, but because, like, things change over the course of a season. Like, they're going to play 16 games. So, like, you know that about me. That's the great thing about the fact we've been talking for so long. Like, I've seen things change. Like, things can change in an offense. But is it a warning sign? Yeah. I will clearly say that, especially when, again, now more than ever, we're in a league where your quarterback's got to be able to, like, pull some plays out from out of nowhere sometimes. When the defense has you covered and they've dialed up the correct play, like, these January games are going to come down to whether or not your quarterback can still beat them. Because the problem is, I mean, not every team you face in the regular season is going to be like that. So you're going to go 10-6 and 11-5 or whatever. But when you get to the playoffs and you face the best of the best, good on good, you know, by the second round of the playoffs, you're going to face a quarterback that can do that to your defense and demoralize them. And then it's on you to do it back. And this is the same situation Chiefs fans found themselves in for so many years, where you have a really good regular season because you have a good team, but then you get to the playoffs and then your alpha dog's not as good as the other team's alpha dog. And then it's just like, okay, now we need a little luck. That's why the quarterback position matters. But I also think, you know, that's why it is a warning sign with the Saints not pushing it downfield right now. And that's actually why there were some really positive signs from Tom Brady on Sunday. Like, he avoided pressure one time and ran to his right and threw a dime that LeSean McCoy dropped. That's the kind of play your quarterback has to be able to make in January. But one thing I'll, again, stress, you know, Sean Payton's a really good coach. And there's nothing stopping them from, like, working on this and, like, trying to break this out when it really matters in January.
Terrez, one more question about a quarterback in the NFC. What's happened to Carson Wentz? He's completing less than 60% of his passes. I've always been high on the talent of Carson Wentz, but it is now starting to waver.
Yeah, you know what? I understand that. I haven't been crazy about what I've seen from that offense. Like, there are some weapons now. But they've got the two really good tight ends. They've got Jalen Reagor. They tried to get him the football. DeSean Jackson's been healthy. But yet, they still haven't been able to consistently throw the football. It feels like they're having some communication issues, too, because it's not an arm talent deal with this guy. Like, his arm is about as good as you can get, and he's athletic enough to create. But, like, we're just seeing him not get on the same page with some of these receivers. Maybe that changes. Again, more reps. Rager's a rookie, and we knew that rookies might be struggling early this season with, lack of reps in OTAs and preseason, and John Hightower gets a lot of reps, too. Maybe it's just that, but I also think, at some point, Doug Peterson's going to have to continue to tweak and dial up the concepts they're really good at. One positive sign in the Eagles is that after week one, when Washington got after them defensively, I thought their pass protection was a lot better this week against Aaron Donald, which is kind of a big deal. So, they actually are trending okay. If the pass protection has gotten better, Wentz just has to get on the same page with his receivers because the route concepts and stuff they're dialing are sound. They're fine. Wentz has to be better. He has to stop making careless throws, and he's got to get on the same page with his guys. Again, these are things that can get fixed with reps.
Speaking of fixed, Therese, let's move on to the Chiefs game versus the Chargers. If you want to talk about the eye test and really the numbers too, that's about as bad as I've seen Pat play any half of football. Do you think it was just Pat being off, or do you think it was bad offensive line play, drops, a combination of all the above?
I definitely think it was a combination of all the above, but you have to remember a few things here. First of all, the Chargers are always they play the Chiefs offense well, but teams are going to do what has proven to kind of work against the Chiefs, which is what I've been saying for a while. You're going to protect against the deep pass. You're going to play two safeties a lot. You're going to try and keep the action in front of you. And then it's going to be really incumbent upon you to have a defensive front that can get home with four, which the Chargers have. They got two really good edge rushers. And then Jerry Tillery looking like a young Chris Jones. Like, they can get after you up front with four, and they're fast. So, like, technically, they're built. Like, they've been built to try to stop Kansas City's offense. Guess what? Travis Kelce went off on Sunday, but if they had Derwin James Jr., maybe that wouldn't have been as easy. You understand? So, like, that they've actually been building toward having a defense that can at least hang with these guys. But the problem is, and this is what's really unfair, you can do all that, and you can make the Chiefs go the long way, and you can dial up the perfect defenses, and it just doesn't matter because Mahomes will pull something out of his tail, and it's touchdown. That's the significance of the Tyreek Hill play. And we need to give Tyreek Hill credit for going to get it as well. That was a hell of a ball track to go get it. And Mahomes pulled a few other plays out that, other quarterbacks can't do. But, that's the key to beating the Chiefs. And it's no secret now. I think the key to improvement for Kansas City's got to be, again, execution, same page with your receivers, all that, timing, rhythm. Again, that gets fixed with reps. But also, pass protection could have been a little bit better. And I think, get the ground game going, man. Like, you can work on that. Like, if the team's going to play too high and they're going to keep the action in front of you, you got to be able to line up and beat them up front in the run game. And they really didn't do that the way you would like to see. But we did see the Chiefs offensive line get a lot better as the year went on last year. Maybe we see that happen this year.
Any concern with a couple of these young bucks, Therese, Willie Gay Jr., Mecole Hardman? Again, like C-Dot said, I know you're not one to make any rash judgment after just two games, but I expected more of an impact out of both those dudes.
Well, you know what? I'll be fair. Like, I'm the one who a week ago was like, Frank Clark might win defensive player of the year. So I'll entertain that because sometimes I do. But this is not something I worry about. When you watch Gay play, it's evident he has a lot of juice and a lot of athleticism. It's also evident that it takes young players time to get comfortable in Steve Spagnuolo's system. My hunch is by the end of the year, he'll be playing a healthy number of snaps. And by next year, he's actually going to be a really good player. He can run and hit with the best of them, and he's got an aggressive temperament. I really like him. I think he's going to be a good player. So don't worry about it. Certainly don't worry about Hardman. Like, there were times where I actually think Hardman and Mahomes' like connection is going to continue to get better. Like, there were times Hardman made the right side adjustment, dropped in the right zone, and Mahomes laid it on him perfectly. Like, those are things that are going to continue to happen. And again, with all the attention being devoted to Tyreek Hill and other players, he's always going to see single coverage, and he's always going to be able to outrun whoever's in that zone or in that vicinity. So, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, just tamp down like everything here, but I do want to remind people the Chiefs are in a really good position, and that those two players are not, I really wouldn't worry about them. I think they're tracking just fine.
Right now we're talking to Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, one of the best NFL writers out there. You just mentioned Frank Clark. What's going on with him? Because we've now seen two seasons where he's either not been at 100% or had to miss games with sort of non-football injuries. What are you hearing regarding Frank Clark's health?
I think we just have to go on what Frank Clark has said, which is like it's a stomach issue. It's continued to bother him. He's going to have to contend with it. You know, we know that he lost a lot of weight last year because of the issue. You know, I wouldn't be holding my breath expecting to find out exactly what that is, because that is his business. But I will say this, man, he's a warrior. You know, Frank's going to play, and he proved that last year, and he looked better this year. So one thing we know is, like, you know, when the Chiefs need Frank Clark, he'll be on the field. Is it unfortunate that he's got these issues? Sure. Does it make you wonder, like, you know, did Seattle decide to move on for him because of this? Because he's a hell of a player who's very productive, and they clearly could still use him right now. Sure, it's made me think about that. But, A, the move worked for Kansas City. They won a Super Bowl, and he was amazing in the playoffs. And, B, because of that, he earns the benefit of the doubt this season. When the Chiefs need Frank Clark, he'll be there and he'll show up.
Therese, going back to the game, we talked about this a lot yesterday about Anthony Lynn's choices on not going forward on fourth down. I'm a big believer that if you are playing the Chiefs, you just got to be hyper aggressive. So when you have first and goal from the four, you got to be thinking that's four down territory in overtime when they had a fourth and inches with a chance to continue the game. I'm not punting the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. What was your take on how Anthony Lynn, I thought, played it pretty conservatively?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm 100% with you. I think Kansas City's so talented, so well coached. Like, this is a team that you're going to have to steal possessions on, and you're going to have to be aggressive, and you're going to need a little luck to beat them. So when you get in the red zone and it's fourth and one or fourth and two or fourth and three, like, you got to score to beat Kansas City. Like, you have to score. Like, you can't beat Kansas City playing the Jim Tressel in 2001 game plan of great special teams in defense, and no mistakes on offense. That doesn't beat them. What beats them is playing great defense, winning the special team battle, and also scoring points. You have to play a great game to beat Kansas City all around. And if you falter in one of those areas, the odds are they're going to beat you. So, yeah, here's one thing I'll say. You're right, but the team that they're about to face is not going to have an issue being aggressive. Baltimore is going to come out at home, and they will be going for it, because they believe they're every bit as good as Kansas City. They're going to show what it takes to beat Kansas. They know the aggressiveness. They're going to follow that game plan. We're just going to have to see what happens.
Therese, for 15 years, the AFC had Brady, Manning, Brady, and it was just absolute gold for the NFL. How much do you think that their plan going forward is that's what the matchup between Brady and Lamar Jackson turns into?
I'm sure you meant Mahomes and Lamar.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Here's the thing, right? Yeah, for sure. Here's the thing, though, Sean. I don't know if it's just got to be Mahomes and Lamar. There's some great young quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Like, trust me, the league would love nothing more than Kyler Murray to be a bona fide star. And after reviewing his tape the last 2 weeks, I think we're headed there. That guy's going to have a huge season. No matter what game he's in or who he faces, he is always the fastest man on the field. He's an amazing player. Russell Wilson is still young enough to probably play for another decade or close to it. You know, there's some great young quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, that we worry about the organizational structure around him. And then even more, Sean, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star. Justin Fields, people in the league I talk to love him. The quarterback position is in great hands in the NFL. They want more of the, like, Brady Manning thing. They want that again, but I think now, because of the way offenses have really evolved, you don't just have to rely on it being just Brady and Manning. I think the hope is that there's multiple matchups that could loom out there like that.
How important is it, Therese, that they get off to a hot start? Because this team hasn't had a lead to begin the game since the Calvin Coolidge administration. It's been a really, really long time. I don't think you can do that against Baltimore.
Yeah. I'd say it's less important for the Chiefs than other teams just because of who coaches them and who their quarterback is. But I don't think you want to tempt fate against a team like Baltimore because generally you're right. First of all, let me say that. Generally, you're right. Baltimore can really lean on you in the run game. Marshall Yanda retired, but they still beat you up in the run game. J.K. Dobbins looks awesome, even though he didn't play a whole lot this week. I think we will see a healthy dose of him this week. And obviously Mark Ingram, and they're physical. Like, this is a team that can control the football game if you let them get up 17-0 or 14-0. I do think a fast start will help significantly, because what you don't want to do is let them get comfortable. And now, great, here we go. Here comes our design run plays with Lamar. Here comes our zone read. Here comes our power. Here comes our power. Here comes our power. Up, here we go, play action, tight end and single coverage. Guess what? You know, they're going to force you to play man, but Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown can't be covered in man. You open yourself up to that if you fall down. So I actually do think getting off to a good start would be important in this game. I would expect Andy to start dialing up the good stuff from the get-go. I do expect there to be a significant focus from the Chiefs early on. This is a spotlight game. They know everyone's going to be watching. I actually think that will be the emphasis, get out to an early start, because this is not a team you can really afford to fall down behind, especially given the fact that in the Chiefs' losses, especially last year, like, the teams that beat them ran the football. They gashed them. Baltimore were like nothing more than to follow that game plan.
That is our guy, Therese Paylor with Yahoo Sports, one of the best NFL voices around, joining us today on The Drive. Therese, always good talking football with you, my man.
Hey, likewise. Appreciate it, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.